Hello, I am Jocelyn Bewa, and this is how I create.
Welcome to This Is How We Create, a show that digs deeper into the creative life of contemporary artists of color. Discover what feeds their creativity and how they've found or are finding their artistic voice. Through these intimate and candid conversations, you'll gain insights into the lives of creative professionals of color that are hard to find anywhere else. Welcome back to This Is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin, your host. I am so excited to welcome fame member of the group Kassav, Jocelyn Bewa, to the podcast today. So we never truly know what the future holds for us when we are growing up. And the same can be said for Jocelyn. Through her childhood, she played the piano, played with her siblings, and simply enjoyed life. She would then move to France, where she pursued a career in medicine and later in fine art before finding singing, or finding music, as she says. Tuck in to hear how Jocelyn navigated more than 30 years as a musician and how she created a career on her own terms and a career that was truly linked to her values. Most recently, Jocelyn wrote her memoir, in French that is, Jocelyn Béoir, Loin de la Mer. While this book is currently available in French, Jocelyn is working to get it published in several languages, and she will be doing the actual audiobook for her memoir, so stay tuned on that point. In the meantime, please enjoy this conversation with Jocelyn Béoir. Before we get started, here's a quick bio on Jocelyn. Jocelyn Bewa is a legendary singer, songwriter, who was born on the island of Martinique in 1954. She grew up loving music, dancing, and photography. When Jocelyn left home to study in France, there she caught the attention of the founding members of the band Kassav. As the band's popularity grew, they created the musical genre known as Zouk, one that is steeped in Caribbean musical history. Whether through Kassav or through her solo albums, Jocelyn has been a trailblazer for women artists across the region, inspiring a new generation of artists to follow in her footsteps. Jocelyn's incredible talent and influence has not gone unnoticed. She has been awarded numerous accolades, including the Chevalier de la Légion d'honneur, one of France's highest honors. Despite her many achievements and charitable work, Jocelyn remains humble and grounded, always striving to create a better world while creating inspiring music. Her voice is a powerful instrument that has touched the hearts of millions of fans around the world. Welcome back to This Is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin, and I am so happy to have Jocelyn, the Jocelyn, otherwise known as Jocelyn Bewar, to the show. Welcome, Jocelyn.
Hello. I'm glad to be here with you, Martine, today.
Jocelyn, your life, like most people's lives, never turns out exactly how you want it. So you grew up in Martinique, but then you somehow ended up in Normandy to study pharmacy. You fell in love with music and have had this career in music that has half of the world completely in love with you. But I guess I want to start, I want to start this conversation by going a little bit back to talk about what you were interested in as a child.
Well, as a child, I was interested into many different things. You know, my father wouldn't let us go outside. I mean, with friends and everything, because he was afraid that something would happen to us. We were six children, right? I'm the eldest of the girls. I have two elder brother. They're twins, and I was the third one, right? I was, you know, with my family all the time, and my mother's family is very big, and we were, you know, every event, like Easter, Christmas, whatever, that was with the entire family, with the family of my parents. But that was a family thing. When I was young, I wanted to go at a certain time. I wanted to go outside with my friends, but my father would not allow me to go outside. So I had to keep on busy at home. So I used to love anything. And with my parents, you know, the education was, you have to go to school. You have to practice sport, and you have to learn music. So I used to learn, you know, classical music on piano. I used to go on sports. So I was doing swimming, and I love that. I love all that. And the last thing, you have to go to church, because if you were not going to church on Sunday morning, you wouldn't be allowed to go to cinema in the afternoon. So we're going to church because that was part of the education we had. Very early, I started to sing traditional songs of Martinique, because my mother had a book called Ça c'est la Martinique, with a lot of songs of early 90s, you know, like Begin, Mazurka, and Vaults, Creole Vaults. So I used to learn those songs, and on the radio, we would listen to French music, because, you know, Martinique and Guadeloupe, they are French. And the radio we had was radio coming from Paris. Most of the songs that were on the radio were not, you know, Martinican or Guadeloupean songs. They were songs from Paris and everything. So it was what was, you know, part of our lives. So fortunately, my mother had that book of traditional songs of Martinique. So I used to love to sing those songs, as well as singing songs coming from Paris, because that's what we had on the radio all the time. And after school, after sport, when I was at home, I would play piano, I would sing, I would draw, I would take pictures and everything. And I used to love to do that all the time.
I'm curious, when you were just singing, did anyone ever think, well, that woman, that little girl has a voice on her? Or was it just for fun?
So you have to know that, you know, for us, in Martinique and probably in Guadeloupe too, the islands are small. You know, we're less than 400,000 people in each island. So, you know, dreaming of being an artist and a singer was just a dream, because we didn't know any of our singers at home that were successful outside. There was none. You know, they were successful at home, and most of the time they were performing in ballrooms. They were performing for people to dance. We could see other people, you know, from France or from even from the Spanish part of the Caribbean, you know, people singing on stage. But most of the time, the music that we had at home, even the music coming from Haiti, were only music for ballrooms. So it was, and our parents wouldn't admit that us women, we would go into ballrooms all night to sing. So right. It was not a dream for a young girl like me to be a singer, because if I had to sing, I had to stay in France and maybe sing in French. And at that time, there was not many Black people apart from American people who were successful in singing, you know, in France. You had American people, yes. But French speaking, it was only the white people that were singing on stage. So it was not a dream for us. So, you know, you love to sing, they love to hear you, and that was it.
So I remember in an interview, you said that you grew up loving the music of Mahalia Jackson, Edith Piaf, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, and Miriam Makeba. Yes. So, with all of that in mind and hearing all of these songs, and I remember growing up and in Haiti at the time, we didn't really have music. I mean, we did, obviously. There were all of the big band musicians, which I still listen to these days, like Tabu Kombo and Koupi Kloé. Yeah. I still listen to those guys. But I do remember listening to Charles Aznavour and... Mireille Mathieu and all of those, all the music that was coming from France, that's all you had.
That was the same thing. That was our education. I mean, they used to tell us, you know, our limits, and we would take, not like a fake, it was just like that, you know, it wasn't for us, it wasn't a dream for us, as well as being, you know, being an actor, you know, before Sidney Poitier with Devine with Qui Vient Dîner, Who's Coming to Dinner? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? We, as Black people coming from the Caribbean, we were not dreaming of, I mean, French-speaking ones, we were not dreaming of being, you know, an actor or an actress. You know, it was not for us. You know, the doors were closed. And so it was natural for us, you know, to have a real, how do you say that, occupation. It was, you know, you to have something, you know, that could give you money to pay your bill, to raise your children and everything, and singing or acting or even painting. So the thing is, when I went to France, you know, to study, then I could imagine something else. You know, I could, because some other people were dreaming like me. You know, we were hoping that this day would come, that we could be successful with what we had, with our culture, with everything. But we had to leave. We had to go somewhere else. Staying in Martinique, you can't be a singer and live from your music. Until now, you know, all the musicians of Martinique, they've got a second employment. I mean, they're doing something else on the side because they can't live just with music.
Which is sad, but, you know.
It is.
So you write about how music stole your life. Once you you go to Normandy Paris. And you're learning. Did you go to Paris or Normandy to learn pharmacy?
First, in the beginning, you know, I wanted to be, you know, I used to love the human body. You know, what was happening, the liver, the heart, everything. And I wanted to know how this machine could work, you know. So I wanted first to be to be a doctor and make research, right? But when I heard about, you know, everything, you know, all the years of learning and everything, so I was a little bit lazy in a way. So yeah, I said, you know, I wanted to draw, to have time to draw, to paint and do whatever I want. And knowing to and learning that to be a doctor, you have to work so much. I said, you know, that I would never have time, you know, to do everything that I love. So I decided to be a pharmacist. And I still said that I would do research anyway. I really knew what was, you know, to be a doctor or a pharmacist. I was just dreaming as a kid, right? Used to love, you know, physics, chemistry. I don't know how to say it. You know, all the chemistry. And so I decided to be a pharmacist. But life decided something else for me, because the first year I had a car accident. I was ejected from the car. I was on the floor. So they took me to the hospital. I had injuries. I was injured here and there and everything. I almost died from this accident. And, you know, I signed a paper, you know, to leave the hospital and go for the examination. The last exams. And I fell on the table, of course, so I couldn't pass the exam. So I had to redo the first year because I was not successful, right? So I redo the first year. And the second year, I had an eye infection because I had I don't know how you call that. They call it varicelle. You know, you had all those bumps on the body and everything. And I couldn't go again to the exam. So I said that it was not for me. Maybe I had to try something else. I wanted to go to fine arts in Paris. So there was an exam to go there and I was successful. So I went to study fine arts in Paris. And there in Paris, I met my brother, Michel, who was a musician. He was playing with many other people. So, and they were looking for a woman to do background singing. So I went to do those background singing and I was paid for that. So I was lucky because I could make a little money and everything. And little by little, people started calling me and calling me and calling me. I ended up doing more music than going to the fine art school. So that's why I say that music stole my life, because that is not what I had decided to do. You see what I mean? So I ended up, you know, getting money from music. So I decided at the time that I would stop, you know, going, looking for something else and be a musician, because I could make a living out of it, but in Paris. But I was always dreaming of returning home. And for maybe 28 years, I had to stay in Paris because of music, because I met Kassav, because my life was into music.
Think about Kassav, but it's a group of you who make up Kassav. we were in 2020, we had my whole family, including my son, we had a great trip planned to see you, to see Kasav in 2020, but we know what happened. But tell us the story of how you met and how you came into the group.
Well, the thing is, you know, I was singing with many different people, and there was this guy who was a piano player who was using me all the time, you know, to play in for shows and everything. And I was singing behind, you know, big stars as a background singer and everything. But with this guy, you know, we had this little group performing here and there, and we were rehearsing in a place where Pierre-Édouard and Georges Décimus had the key. That's them who were opening the door. So, you know, they used to stay and listen to me singing, you know, rehearsing with Wallowee. But at the same time, that was in 1980. So at the same time, they were looking for Caribbean people who could come into the dream that they had, which was creating a group called Kasav. So they had the first album in 79, but it was not a group already. There were only three people out of it. There was Pierre-Édouard Décimus, who had the idea, Georges Décimus, who was the brother, and Jacob Desvarieux that they met in France. And so Jacob was a very good guitar player, and he was bringing something new into the music. So they decided to use him. So they were, the three of them were, you know, Kasav, so the so-called Kasav, which was not a group at that time. So for the second album, they called me, you know, to do the background singing. And then they wanted me again, but I was already touring with other people, you know, big stars of France, did background singing, called again. The one who was singing, Travailler, c'est trop dur, et voler, c'est pas bon. He's from, my memory is short. He was from Louisiana. So he was singing in some kind of Creole of Louisiana and everything, and sometimes broken French and stuff like that. So I was singing with him. So I couldn't go with them. So in 1983, then I was free, and they called me, you know, to go on tour with them. And from that moment, I never left them, because I loved what they were doing. I loved the music that they were giving, offering to the people, and I wanted to be part of it. But in the very beginning, I was a background singer. But because we had, you know, to do shows all the time and everything, so, and they knew that I could sing like solo, and there was not a lot of women singing in Martinique and Guadeloupe, so they wanted to use me in front, you know, like a real solo singer. So they asked me little by little, you know, to sing that song. And the very first song I sung on stage with them was Soleil, who was in the beginning sung by a man. Soleil is a song. Oh. The original Soleil song is sung by a man. And they asked me to do it, you know. So I learned it and I did it on stage. The guy who was singing that was never part of Kasav. He was singing for Kasav, but he was not part of Kasav. So you know, I took the Soleil song for me. And then they asked me to sing a second song, which was Momentala, you know, that was in 84. I did that song. It was not a big hit, but I had two songs on stage that I could do, you know, as a soloist, right? And little by little, you know, I ended up, you know, having more and more songs. And 1986, I had my very first solo album with Kasav.
Okay, so let's talk about you discovering your voice, though. Uh-huh. Because you go from wanting to become a painter.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you start doing these, backing these artists up. Can you tell me how you tuned your instrument and really found your voice? Because you have a very distinct voice. Well, can you tell us how that happened?
Well, I think that because I used to love all these people, you know, we talk about like Edith Piaf, Mahalia Jackson. They're different, but there's one thing. They have one thing in common. They just talk to the people, and they are true. They're telling stories. They're telling stories that can move you. I mean, they can that touch you. You can even cry on certain stories, you know, listening to them, because they're really true. I mean, Miriam Makeba, which one? Celia Cruz. Well, you know, when they're singing, you can feel what they're telling about, you know. And I used to love languages too, because my mother was an English teacher. So I used to speak English early. You know, I spoke English and French and Creole early, so I could understand what they were talking about. And I learned Spanish too at school, so I could understand what Celia Cruz was talking about. So I could feel what the emotion that they were giving to the people. So I was trying to learn how to have the same strength, you know, in singing, you know, like you have to tell about the emotion that the words are carrying. So that was one thing. And one of the groups I was performing with, you know, in the very beginning of my career, they would tell me that I had to go to learn to breathe, to use my voice correctly, because in the very beginning, when we were having too many shows, I used to lose my voice because I didn't know how to use it properly. So I had to learn how to use my belly, how to use my throat, how to use the technique of singing. So, you know, I learned a little, you know, during my entire life, you know, I had maybe 4 or 5 different teachers, because I always needed, you know, to have something more here, something more. And I still have things to learn, because when you sing, you take bad habits. And to get rid of those bad habits, you have to go again on course, on singing courses. You understand what I mean? Classes.
I can't. That's so hard for me. I know that you just said it, so it must be true. But I suppose that's the thing. You have your art, and if you stop learning, you stop growing. And if you stop growing, exactly, you stop your success.
Exactly. So the thing is, you know, I had to learn all the time, and I'm still learning today, you see? So the thing is, you know, it was just like when I was singing, the people had to believe in what I'm singing about, what I'm singing about, right? And, you know, when I was young, I was my auntie, not so long ago in an interview, she used to say that I was a comedian when I was small. I used to play all the time. I used to have a lot of... I wanted to disguise all the time, you know. I'm always playing a role, you see what I mean? So the thing is, that was my nature. It was, you know, I was a comedian, you know, and I ended up, you know, playing in movies too, you know, in my career. That was the thing, you know. When you're saying something, they have to believe in what you are saying. So you cannot say anything anyway. If I'm telling you, oh, I'm happy today, I'm so happy, you won't believe it. But I'm happy. You trust me. You see what I mean? So it's just that having, you know, the feeling that you have, the emotion that you have to show to the people. You have to put that in your singing. You have to put that in your words. You have to be true. That's all.
Yes.
It's not having a beautiful voice that people say, oh yeah, she can go high, she can go down, she got a nice sound and everything. You know, I used not to love my voice, the sound of my voice.
You didn't? How come?
I wish I had another voice, a bigger voice. I don't know. You know, we always want to have something else that we don't have. I always dreamt of having another voice, but I ended up, you know, loving my voice because people were touched with what I was saying to them. So I said, maybe you don't need another voice. Maybe this one is what is good for you. That's, you know, so I'm trying to preserve it. That's all. The emotion I was carrying. Jacob used to say, when she tells you that you have to lock the door, you can see the door being locked. He was saying, so I said, okay, so if I have this talent, it's good. The thing is, you know, I know that every time you have to work on it, you have to not to believe that you have everything, you know, always have something to learn.
That is so true.
Yes.
When I think about you, when I see your career and I listen to your discography and I listen to sometimes when I'm cooking, I have you on and I'm listening and dancing and watching your videos, your music videos. The one thing to what you just said are always the emotions that come across. And I know that you've acted. It seems to me that you could have had just this great acting career as well, because you are that comedian, you are that the singer, you, the emotions and sharing that emotion is something that you're really, you do so well.
But this happened very late in my life, because right now when they're calling me is to be the grandmother of, or the auntie of, and everything, you know, when I was young and I could have some other roles, they would not, they wouldn't use me. You know, the very first big movie that we did was about, you know, Kassav's life. It was Ozan Palsy with Simeon. That was the very first time when I acted. I was still a bit young, so I could. But all the roles that they suggested me, they were roles about what they thought that the Caribbean woman was. And I was telling them, you know, this is not the image of the Caribbean woman that I want to carry. You know, a woman that get undressed all the time and everything is the type of Caribbean woman that I am. You know, so I don't want to do this thing. So I refused, you know, to play in a couple of movies because, you know, I didn't like the roles that they were given to me, characters that I had to defend. And so I refused. So after that, you know, we had filmmakers, you know, coming from the Caribbean. So then they had real good roles, but I was already too old, you know, to be a young lady in a movie. I'm always the old woman, you know. So that's it.
You're still having another career. So I guess that's it. And discovering new things about yourself and learning. So can we talk about your first album, Siwo?
Uh-huh.
Can you talk about the creation of it? How did you all decide how to put it together? Because it was the first one where it was all you and the focus was on you. Can you tell me about the decision to make the album and the things that you learned as you put it together?
So Kassav, c'est on dit que c'était une un not a concept but a technique, you know, because the music that were given to the people was new. That was a new way of playing the music of our two islands, Martinique and Guadeloupe, because all the singers had their own personality. Then Jacob had a solo album, Jean-Philippe Martelly had a solo album, Patrick had a solo album. Jean-Claude Nemereau, who was playing piano, had a solo album as a singer. You know, he used to play. When he joined Kassav, he joined Kassav as a piano player, not as a singer. And even him had a solo album. So as a singer, I said to my friends, hey, I need mine. You see what I mean? So they took time because at that time, at home, women didn't have big albums. They had, you know, like a single, you know, a single song for Carnival period or whatever, you know, but you didn't have that many LPs of women because they were not selling much. So the producers didn't want to waste money on women's albums. So they had to convince the producer that he should do mine because some other producer would come to get me, because after doing Soleil on stage, Momentala, which was the very first song I recorded with Kassav, I did first Mauvais Jou, was a big hit. Mauvais Jou, Ma Disote, Ma Fache, this one. And Pas Besoin Parler, who was a big hit also. Jacob told the producer, if you don't want her to leave us with another producer, you better do hers. So he said, okay. But he was afraid because it was a CD of a woman, you know. So everyone, they put all the energy on the songs, you know. They all gave me great songs. So this album was a big hit, was a big success. And then all the girls from the Caribbean, I mean, French Caribbean, Martinique and Guadeloupe, started to do album too. Zouk Machine, the year after.
Zouk Machine, yes.
Yeah, Zouk Machine, no. Same year with me, Zouk Machine, before me. You know, they did.
Oh.
And then Tania Saint-Val had her album at the same time with me.
Yes.
At the same time. So it's because, you know, I had those big hits before. Then the women said, we can make it too. We have, there's a place for us. And they started singing too, started to be successful. And for a certain time, you know, people were waiting on women's CDs, you know, to be out to know which one was the best. So you have those people, you know, like, Zouk Machine, Tanya Saint-Vel, Edith Lefel, Jocelyn Bewa, and many others after Common. So you know, women started to be in front. But before, you know, women were laid back, you know. Before me, you had three girls in Martinique who had an album, they were called Diffé. That was the group Diffé with three women. But it was just in Martinique. You know, they hardly heard them, you know, in Guadeloupe. And I'm not sure that in Haiti they heard about them. You know, they didn't go far.
I don't know them.
You see? Yeah, no. Mm. So the thing is, you really, women's career in music started with Kassav bringing the women in front. All these are around the same period of time, that was 86, that women started really to be recognized as singers, because we were not only playing in ballrooms, but we were doing shows. We were going on stage. You know,
well,
we were
doing
stage appearance. Yes. That's it. That's on 86 that women started, you know, to be really there on stage with the men.
So your father is a dentist, then you mentioned that your mother is a teacher. What did your family think about this career that you were having?
The thing is, you know, when they learned that I was singing, you know, I was already into the business. And the thing is, you know, people were talking about me, you know, in good terms. You know, they were saying, yeah, she's special, she sings good. So they were proud, but they were afraid to, because they knew that you can sing, you know, for 4 years and be successful, and then there's nothing. But, you know, because Kassav was growing and growing and growing, they started feeling more relief and saying, okay, if she can make it, you know, with when I did my first solo album, then Philippe Laville asked me to redo one of the songs, Collé Serré, which was a big hit in France.
So yes.
I could buy an apartment. So my parents felt that, okay, she can make a living. Yeah, okay. So they were happy with that, and they accepted it, you know. But in the very beginning, they were very afraid, you know, that, you know, things can stop at any time and never been successful. What are you going to do? You know, are you going to be a teacher? You know, how can you make a living? You know, that was their only dream, is that their kids can feed themselves by themselves. So the thing is, you know, they were not very quiet in the beginning, but then they said, okay, this is cool.
How did Collé Serré come about? All your songs, all your albums, Kassav's albums, my family, we listen to it all the time. But I think that song, Collé Serré, is particularly sentimental. I remember living in Aix-en-Provence, and when that song came in the clubs, everybody went crazy. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, so that song is talking about a couple that has been separated, and they meet again, you know, the woman and the man, they meet again, and they're watching themselves, and they said, if we had taken time to speak, to exchange, to tell about, you know, what was wrong and everything, maybe we would be together, dancing together now. You see what I mean? So that's what it means. You know, it's just like people, most of the time, they get apart and they don't know why. They don't really know why, because they never talk about things that had to be talked about. You see what I mean? I don't know if you understand my English there. So the thing is, you know, with Philippe Laville, when I did it, you know, Philippe would sing in French so that the people could understand what it was, what it was about in the song, because he was singing in French, so the French people could take it. And they started, you know, learning a bit about Creole. They used to use the word collé serré, you know, saying being together. That means collé serré for them. The melody was, Jean-Claude was used to play with all those French guys. So he knew how to create songs in the French way. You see what I mean? So it was a zouk song, but with the French way of writing songs, which is different with what Jean-Philippe Martelly or Patrick Satella would create. You know, they had a different way of singing because they were more like Caribbean. They had a Caribbean way of writing songs. Jean-Claude had a more Frenchy way.
I mean, that song is such a hit, and I'm assuming too, it, as you mentioned, it helped to have that bridge to bring over all of those, all of the fans, because a few of the Kassav live albums, but man, if you ever watch the videos, those stadiums.
Those stadiums
are filled with people of all different colors and backgrounds.
Yeah,
and so, but you know, we're talking about years of working hard to build that audience. Now, that's wonderful.
And Kassav, to tell you something, Kassav is somehow, you know, an example of this world, because even in the group, we had, you know, people from the bases are Martinican and Guadeloupean, but you also had a Cameroon guy, which is African, you know. You had a North African guy playing, you know, the horn. You had people from France playing the trumpets and stuff, you know, from North and South of France. You know, you had people from all over. That group was already cosmopolitan. Even if the base is Martinican and Guadeloupean, when you were good and we wanted to use you, you were part of the group. There was no problem for us. So it was, as I said, you know, like Kassav is a real example of living together, you know, having people from, you know, different countries. When we speak Creole with Kassav, we don't speak a pure Martinican Creole. Our Creole is Martinican, is Guadeloupean. And even if, you know, we want to use an Haitian Creole, we can use it. We have no problem with that. We are not limited, you see. It's just like you have to know that this world is rich of so many different things that everything can inspire you. You don't have to just wrap into your own thing. You have to know who you are. You have to know what is your heritage. You have to know where you come from. You have to know your history. You have to carry to the people, you know, your culture and everything. But this culture that you offer to the other people is today, you know, because of internet, because of everything, somehow we are inspired by people from all over the world. You know, if something is good, you know, you can just take it, not to do exactly the way it was given by the people, but use it with your culture, turn it to be yours. You see what I mean? And that's the thing. So that's why, you know, I hate when people are just staying just with, you know, it's just their own thing. That's their own thing. This world is too beautiful. There's too many things, you know, to learn from this world. And I learned that with Kassav. And I learned that before with my parents, because I had the chance, I have to say, that I was very lucky when I was a kid, having my two parents and my parents who were, you know, they wanted to know about the world, and they had the chance that they could travel. So they made us travel with them when we were young. So we learned to respect the other, respect the difference, and accept that the other one can do something good. It's not only you who can do something good. Everyone can do good.
Well, Jocelyne, this has been so much fun. Your book, Jocelyne Béroir, Loin de la Mer, it's about your life. And while people can order it from France, when we talked earlier, you did mention that you're working on Get It Translated.
Yes,
I can't wait to get it myself. I ordered it, and hopefully it will come soon.
I hope. I really hope that we have it soon. Really.
Yeah.
Because I this book, I know that in Africa, they're waiting on it in Portuguese. They're waiting on it in English, and I'm sure that in the States and everything, you know, all the people where people speak English, they're really waiting for it. So I really hope this year to have it written in English.
Oh, that's great.
Translated in English. And I will do also a vocal one,
you know. Oh, an audio?
Yeah.
Oh!
Audio one. Yes, I'm supposed to start doing it myself. Because as I wrote, like, je, it's me telling the story. And some people used to tell me that when they read it, they have the feeling that I'm talking to them. You see what I mean? Oh. So I said, okay, so I should do the voice.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yes.
Wow, I can't wait for it. But I'll read the French one in the meantime. Thank you so much for joining us. This is amazing. You've made my month, my week, my day.
Glad to hear that. So I have to say something. I make an announcement.
Sure.
Kassav is going to be back on stage mid-May. We starting with St. Lucia. We met a young guitar player who's been learning with Jacob, and he knows the sound of Jacob. One day I was not watching. I thought, you know, they were playing a live concert, and it was him playing.
Wow.
I'm so glad. So we're going to have a little Jacob on stage.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He doesn't have the voice. He doesn't have the voice. That for the voice.
Who could? That voice.
But he's got the guitar. The guitar. We already have the guitar. So it's good.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.